Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Well, we were in a lot of common rooms together this weekend, so I you might have caught it from me. Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah, I know most people in Atlanta, we specifically go to strip clubs just for the wings. I've heard that Magic City has really good wings.
Yes, they do.
Sleep on those, man.
Good wings.
Yep.
Elsewhere throughout the country, most people are going for the women. I'd say so if you're rolling up to a strip club. But Cam Newton on his Funky Friday podcast revealed that when he goes to strip clubs, it's not to see the ladies. Ha-ha, no. He goes for a different reason. He goes for the men?
I never went to a strip club for women. Really? I always went to strip clubs for guys.
We went to a strip club.
No, didn't. I'm a competitor. I wasn't going to spend no money if I didn't see nobody else spending money. As soon as I seen somebody thinking that they got money, you spending $5, I'm going to spend $6. If you're going to spend $10, I'm going to spend $15. Okay. And then we're going to have a rain off.
Yeah, I love it.
So
I'm not saying you do that in Onyx.
So that's my whole thing. It's like, I don't go to strip clubs for chicks, even though I want decoration. I was a competitor, still am a competitor, to think like,
seriously?
You think you got it, but you don't got it. That 15 that you making, I'm going to spend my 15 and I'm going to make it back easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't nothing.
What a relatable conversation.
I feel like the theme of today's show has just been 1%ers talking about how much money they have to give. And so badly timed, too, after this. Some people are not getting their Christmas bonuses.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm over here like, did he really say no homo and then no diddy?
He did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he
said.
Yeah.
After he said that he goes to strip clubs for the men, he followed that up with a very quick no homo, no diddy.
Every time I hear Cam say something dumb, I think... That's the dumbest thing he can ever say. And he tops himself like every single time.
That's the most bizarre reasoning of going to a strip club that I have ever heard. Just because you want to outshine other men and how much they spend.
Talk about ego, bro. That's next level ego right there.
It just doesn't make sense to me because as an adult grown man, if you want to flaunt your money, there are so many places to go and do that. You can go to a club. You can go to Live in Miami and buy out the biggest table and buy the most expensive bottles to where you can assert your dominance if you really need to do that as a man. So why go to the strip clubs in the first place? That's what's not clicking with me.
Cam's just getting in his own way here. You and I have talked about him. I really like him on like ESPN. Mm-hmm. I really like him a lot. But they're not going to hire him with takes like this, man. You can't.
He makes everybody in the room on ESPN sound smarter when you put Cam in. Like that might have something to do with it.
So some of the comments on this video were absolutely hysterical. Mo, to your point, there was a guy that said, his name is @imitationbyJarrell. He said, every time Cam puts on the magical hats, he just says something more embarrassing.
Every time.
Those hats, man.
Another comment from @naturalmystic_7 said, I mean, they won't admit it, but a lot of men are homoromantic. They're not necessarily sexually attracted to other men, but they love male validation and connection more than anything else.
Interesting.
I know, which I was like,
I got to process that one.
Uh-huh. You want a second?
Yeah.
Can you do it in 30 seconds?
I do think people tend, what is that saying? You tend to spend a lot of money to impress people that don't like you or you don't like anyway. I think that happens in the circle of men a lot.
Okay, makes a lot of sense. All right, Vanderpump Rules is James Kennedy is out on bail after he was arrested on suspicion of domestic violence. Did you ever watch Vanderpump Rules, Kristen?
I did.
James Kennedy does seem like he's the problematic type, and this just goes to prove it. So the Burbank Police Department was called to his L.A. home on Tuesday regarding an argument between a man and a woman. The investigation determined it was a domestic incident leading to his arrest. He was booked on misdemeanor DV charges, later posted on bail. He was released on $20,000 of bail, and there was a recent video that showed him at a gig, because I guess he's a DJ on the side, as opposed to just being the typical reality star and Instagram influencer, and it was packed. People were still out there, despite all these headlines that were floating around last week. Kind of disappointing. People, do better.
Yeah. Nah.
I mean, again, this is all alleged because he was arrested on suspicion of DV charges, but, you know, again, still, it's still out there. Not the greatest. Right, Google's top trending searches for 2024 have been released, and some of these make a lot of sense. Some of these, the math is not mapping. Some of these really do add up, like for the most popular people to be Googled for people who passed away: Toby Keith, number one, number two, Liam Payne, number three, OJ Simpson, fourth, James Earl Jones, and then number five, Rich Homie Kwan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Actors, the top actor to be Googled this year was Cat Williams, which I think makes a lot of sense from that episode that he did where he was pretty much exposing everybody else. But coming up, I will tell you about the most popular songs that were Googled, and this couple has been the face of Black Love for years, and now people are saying that this might be the messiest divorce we've seen in 2024. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
This was really Kristen's idea this morning. I didn't know it was on the schedule to talk about, but I see where she's coming from, because there has been such an overwhelmingly positive response to what seems so obvious to me, that I think it is worth talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's human nature is so strange to me, you guys. You know, people want tea. Give me the tea. Give me the tea. Give me the tea. And then you get the tea, and then you're like, I'm so sick of the tea. because what we did on Friday was I sort of said, hey, guys, I usually consult you guys on decisions like this, but I'm after going to our Facebook page a couple of different times over the course of the last couple of weeks and just seeing one or two really nasty comments that have been thrown at some people on this show that are personal attacks that have nothing to do with the show or the content. There's nothing constructive about it at all.
It's just hateful to be hateful.
Exactly. Just spears thrown to really wound and hurt. I'm like, forget it. We're done with this now. And I know that our social media is to connect with you guys, which I love doing, and I love getting your input, but they're isn't really a fine line between constructive criticism and just being nasty. It's not a fine line at all. And looking over them, I came in here on Friday, and I'm like, and I asked Cassie and Rebecca, post this on Facebook, because we're not taking any crap anymore. the personal attacks are going to stop, and we are going to be wielding the blocking feature much more. And the response over the weekend has been sort of crazy about it. I didn't go back too often to see it, but Kristen's like, with this kind of response, we should talk about it.
Nah, and because I did. I scoped it out. And it boiled down to, we were protecting our peace, and you were leading the charge on that. And it was, none of us knew you were doing that. And then upon reading it, and when you read it on Air Friday, I was like, God bless you, man. Like, seriously. And this is nothing new. I had a friend hit me up and be like, what's going on over there? And I'm like, no, like, this has been going on since I joined the show 13 years. I mean, people have always been nasty. I don't know if you just finally reached your boiling point and you were like, enough is enough.
Yeah, I think I explained this on Friday, that Cassie's like, hey, guys, if you go to our Facebook page and just leave a comment from time to time, it'd probably go a very long way. And I felt like I've been doing that from time to time the last couple of months. And every time I do, there's one or two comments. And by the way, this is vastly, I mean, the people that are nasty on there are, I mean, the math doesn't even math. It's so few, but they still hurt. And it's human nature for us to go on there, do our jobs, comment with you guys. But when you say something really nasty about one of us, or I love these guys, these are my friends, these are my family, it hurts me and it hurts them. So let's eliminate it altogether.
So when I saw their response on Facebook, because I actually ventured there.
Whoa.
I know.
That's a long trip.
It was slightly terrifying, but I did it. It was such an overwhelming response. And I really just wanted to have, like, let Cassie and Rebecca take the mic, because they're the ones that have really been dealt the brunt of dealing with these nasty comments. And I know Cassie has said in the past, she's like, you know, it's actually, she had an easier time dealing with the hate comments towards her, but she does consider us friends. And so to day in and day out, seeing people talk crap about your friends, it starts to eat at your soul a little bit.
It does. And the, you know, it took me a long time to realize the people who are leaving nasty comments, because I'd go on there and defend myself. And I would say what I wouldn't go in nasty, but I'd be like, hey, I never said that. Mm-hmm. This is what I said. And then you get attacked for trying to defend mm-hmm. yourself by being like, hey, I said the sky is blue, not green.
And
they don't care.
And listeners were starting to stick up for us also, and the trolls were going after them. And then it became like this sword fight online, which is not a community I want to be involved in.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why the consensus was so positive when we posted that whole blurb about featuring the block feature, because a lot of listeners, I don't think they were afraid to comment specifically on Facebook, but I think that they were less enthused to comment on things like Facebook videos because trolls would come at them, and that's not a positive mm-hmm. space to be in.
Ladies, when Bert gave you the go-ahead, how good did it feel to use that block button?
I felt very powerful. I'm actually fresh off a block, like 3 minutes ago. Feeling very good about that. You know what's so fascinating to me is that most of the people who post these nasty things, it's not even their own opinions. They see something that one person has posted and commented and complained about, and then it's like every single one of them is saying the same exact thing. They all say, oh, Kristen does this. Abby always does this. Bert always does this. And I'm like, you guys are just repeating it yourselves. It's like an echo chamber.
You know, I want this to be more than just a radio thing, because I saw, I got a lot of DMs from people saying they were thinking about doing this also, but they didn't want to give the family member or the troll or whatever the satisfaction of knowing that it is bothering you. And I have said this for years and years and years, and Mo and I didn't necessarily agree on this a couple of years ago. I'm like, I would rather give the trolls the temporary win. Good. You guys are, the few of them are feeling great that we're talking about this again. They are feeling so good that I mentioned that I go on to Facebook and it hurts me. They love, that's their oxygen right there. So get your temporary win. But I think for the long term, the mental health, block those people. It's no different in life of creating a boundary face to face. You have a relationship with the people on your Facebook page. If they're being nasty, create the boundary.
You got to remember, you came around on that. I'd always had that stance. Like, yeah. I was the block party. I was the guy who had. I came in with like hundreds of blocks already, because I'd always felt that way. Like your social media is like your home, like you said, and you wouldn't let nobody come into your house and disrespect your home if you didn't want them there. So to me, it's the same exact thing. There's nothing wrong with protecting your peace. I never cared about if I block somebody and they feel like that's a win. Well, congratulations, but I'm definitely going to protect mm-hmm. my peace over everything.
If that's your win, you're pathetic.
Absolutely.
Honestly, if you're listening to this break and you're sharing it on other forums, on the web somewhere that you got to us, that is what a lonely, lonely,
it's sad.
Empty life.
It's sad.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there are a lot of people in pain out there who maybe don't have the resources to go get proper mental health. And so they take out their anger on the internet. And I've said this before. I do think with the advent of social media, there's been a loss of shame for people. And you say things publicly that should be inside thoughts, right? And a key thing is, like, are you using a fake name or are you using a fake avatar? But I think people are taking their anger onto the internet and they don't see us as human beings. And I don't mean that in a way where, you know, I mean it like they're so far removed. They think they're just commenting on a radio station page or a radio show page, and they can be angry and get their anger out. What they don't realize is we are real human beings and we do see those comments. And also a lot of them don't listen to the actual words that we say, which is very frustrating, and get it twisted. And so for a long time, I felt really bad for these people, because I'm like, what pain do you have to be in to try and tear somebody down publicly in that manner and like start a pile on and come after people? But I think now I've had the pendulum swing the other way, where I'm like, you know what? You're right. Bert's right. Like, block them, because you're allowed to have negative thoughts. You're allowed to be angry and mad at the world, mad at us for our opinions. That's totally fine. You're not allowed to be mean. And that's the same thing I tell my toddler, who is, or I guess she's a 5-year-old now. I'm like, you're allowed to have all the feelings. You're allowed to be mad at your mom, your dad. You're allowed to tell us that you're angry at us, but you are not allowed to be disrespectful and mean about it. And I feel like a lot of these trolls are hurt people who are suffering, but they need to be told, hey, it's okay that you're upset and it's fine to disagree with us, but you're not allowed to be an a-hole to somebody else just because you're in pain.
I will say it's going to be a little bittersweet because each of you have designated haters. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, when I post something on Facebook about Kristen, I'm just going to be like, what's Eileen doing? Like,
I know. No.
How's she filling her
time? No, it was Elaine. It was Elaine.
Come on, Eileen.
And then also the guy that anytime you posted a video, man, he just went, boo.
You got a ghost following your videos?
Yeah.
It's like a superhero needs a villain. Villain needs a superhero. One is taken away. The other one's like, what am I going to do now? I don't know what you're going to do now, but I would suggest you find another morning show and comment on their page.
Yeah.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Cass has got a very interesting question that will apply to a couple of you guys and would love to get your input on ghosts. 1-855-BIRCHA.
Yeah, people who have had near-death experiences or work with or have been around other people who have died, I'd love to know, and especially healthcare workers is really who I'm talking about, not random serial killers who kill people and watch them die, but like
hospice workers have some crazy stories.
Yes, I would like to know if people actually see ghosts when they're near death, or if it's just the brain's last attempt at staving off the horror of non-existence by giving you some comfort, right? By showing you family members and things like that.
Ooh, traumatizing. Okay.
Well, you know, I'm in a dark place these days. Because here's the thing. So my mother has stage 4, I don't even know if you can, it's breast cancer technically, but it's everywhere, brain, eye, spine, the whole nine yards.
It's like fully metastasized.
Yeah. And we're really struggling. And she has seen ghosts when she was younger. My family's not a real big paranormal family, but from time to time, my parents have told me things independently from their childhoods, which I'm like, I wish you had never said that because I don't want to know this kind of thing. And now I'm going to fixate on it. So she has seen one like when she was really young or when she was pregnant with me, rather. And then recently she told us that she saw her father when she was at MD Anderson for treatment in full funeral attire standing at the foot of her bed.
Oh my God.
But she felt very comforted by it. Like, she loves her father dearly. Like, he passed away very young, like in his early 60s from a heart attack. So it was comforting to her. But then she's been seeing someone else, and we don't know who it is. It's just a woman in white who walks by. And the first time it happened, she was with my sister, one of the times it happened, it gave my sister a full body chill. She had seen her before, and then when I went to go visit her over her birthday, my mom's knitting, and all of a sudden she takes a knitting needle and does like a sweeping motion and goes, she just walked by, and I got full body chills that this woman in white walked through the living room into the kitchen, just walks by, doesn't interact, and I'm like, well, I'm not drinking water for the rest of the night because there is no way I'm walking in that kitchen. Like, it freaked me out. And, you know, part of my family has always kind of been in touch with the supernatural a little bit, but we've always rejected it as well at the same time. Like, no, we're not going to focus on that. Move along. But I noticed recently, starting with my first visit to see my mom at MD Anderson for a surgery she was having, three distinct times on the way over, on the plane ride there, and then in the car, I smelt my grandmother. And I know that sounds weird, but I think, you know, like, people's houses have smells, and when you're really hanging out with them a lot, they become distinctive. Like, everyone knows if I say the smell of cut grass in the summer, like, you can think of that, it brings you certain memories. And so the same thing, it's like a very distinct smell. And the first time I wrote it off because it was her laundry detergent, which is called Persil, which is not very popular in the States. She's British. And so I'm like, but still, somebody could have that laundry detergent. But then there was a specific smell of like tea, burnt coffee, and toast that her kitchen always smelled like in the mornings, with a dash of something I could never place. And it was unequivocally like it was her. And I was like, that's interesting. And then again, another time, a specific smell that's always associated with her house. And I've smelled my other grandmother before, too, years ago, her signature scent. So I'm like, oh, great. I'm losing my mind. I'm going nuts. And no, it's not carbon monoxide. Because, by the way, if you're seeing ghost stuff and stuff moving around, check your carbon monoxide monitors, because that literally could be it.
You're so, like a bloodhound for ghosts. You just sniff them out.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, people I know, it's weird. And we had a psychic who's been on the show before visit my house and told me my grandfather was attached to me. So all these different variables. And I've always written them off because I like to be of science. But at some point, I'm like, okay, well, now this is weird because I'm smelling my grandmother, my mother's mother, over and over and over again in a short amount of time. I smelled her again when I went to go visit her for her birthday. And then coupled with the story of my mom seeing ghosts, and I'm just wondering if there's anything to this. And I think part of the reason I'm asking is I'm looking for some solace and comfort about what happens after death. Especially, I don't know, I used to be very religious, and I don't know that I ascribe to that anymore. I've shifted so much. So I'd love to get more information and sort of, is that real? Is it going to bring her comfort, or is it something I need to mitigate and protect her against?
Good morning, Jessica. Thank you for calling the Burt Show. What's going on?
Hi, guys. So about 2 years ago, my husband's uncle got very sick with cancer, and he was in hospice. So before he got sick, every time we go to the house or any house, as a joke, he just kept banging on the walls like, hey, I'm here. Come down here. Let's hang out, whatever. So when he was in hospice, it was like in the middle, it was like 10 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden we hear this bang. It was just my husband and I in the house, nobody else. And we look at each other, it's like, what's that noise? And literally within 5 minutes, we got a call that he passed. And it was, we look at each other, it's like, no, he was just saying goodbye. I mean, we came up with all kinds of, I don't know, reasons, but we kept, like, he was just trying to say goodbye one last time, being playful, and we kept that. It make us feel a little better.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling. Yeah, I think a lot of people are afraid of spirits, and to me, I have just the opposite feeling on it. They do. They give me comfort. And I think I told you a story a while ago about a friend of mine that has a client that moved in, their father-in-law. I think it was downstairs and he was in really bad shape. So they put a camera on him just in case something happened in the middle of the night. And he showed me the video. Remember this? I brought it in. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't bring it in, but I told you guys that you literally could see a spirit rubbing the forehead of the father-in-law right before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it.
Yeah. Wow.
And this is not a guy that would have any idea on how to manipulate a photo. You could clearly see the spirit come down and wipe the forehead and then go right into the sky. And then the spirit of the father-in-law went right up after him.
Oh, wow.
I saw it. You guys, I saw it.
Yeah, because you brought it in. Your friend didn't want you to put it out publicly.
That's right.
But you showed it to us in studio and it was crazy.
Jarring, right? Hey, Vassie, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hi, good morning, T1. So my grandfather, when he passed away, the morning of, he went to his brother's widow and said, what do you want me to tell your husband? And she's like, what are you talking about? And sure enough, he fell asleep in her chair, like sitting up, and he passed away that same day. And he knew because he was already seeing his family and people that have passed, and he already knew it was time to go.
Yeah, we could take call after call after call after call after call.
So does that give you comfort knowing there's something?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it does. I don't know what I was hoping for. Yeah. Like, maybe more, maybe how it eased somebody's pain or what have you, or horror stories. I don't know, but it does make me feel a little bit better, for sure.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I'd say last night was the first time in over a decade that outside of a sporting event, I made it must-watch TV to watch a show live as it was coming out rather than wait till the next day and check it out. And that was the Yellowstone finale last night.
You watched it live last night.
I did, man. It was on CMT. That's also the first time I've ever watched CMT. I will say this without giving anything away at all. It is, for me, the worst part of Yellowstone and the best part of Yellowstone that I have watched for the last five seasons.
Really? So yeah. You went on a little bit of a roller coaster ride.
Because sometimes it gets unbelievable. You and I were kind of turned off by it because it's just too much, man.
Like, only so much stuff can happen to one family. Right. You know, it's just got excessive.
So it had some of that, but then it turned around, it came around, so it had the best and the worst. Are you watching it today?
No, I'm not watching it today.
Okay, yeah, all right.
I'm not going to watch it till the Christmas break.
Really? You'll save?
Yeah.
How do you stay away from spoiler alerts?
I don't know.
That is impressive. Awesome. Yeah, today is hard.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I've so far I haven't seen anything about this finale season, so I just do my best to stay clear, and then I will binge it over the Christmas break.
And I also became a Lainey Wilson fan last night.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. All right, Jackson is here to save the day for Messy Mikey, swooping in and saving the day.
That is exactly what I plan on doing here. So we've talked a lot about Mikey making the big move outside of his parents' house, move him to the big city.
You're such a big boy.
He's blowing up so fast.
You're a big boy.
I hate baby talk. You guys gotta stop.
You gotta stop. Oh, he's going to be pain red.
I'll walk out right now.
And not only is he moving out of his parents' house into a place of his own, he's also moving in with his girlfriend, which is a huge step in a relationship.
Monumental.
Mm-hmm, right, dude. Mm-hmm. Marriage pay slap, bro. This is it.
Stop.
Yeah. Welcome to the end.
Which do you hate more, the baby talk or the marriage pay slap talk?
I'd go without either.
Oh, how about this? Oh, it's your marriage pay slap. Oh, my God.
Do you want to get married?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
hit me with that at seven in the morning.
What time is it?
Yeah, no, there's some people. It's not even. There's some people who marriage, that's important to them. And there's other people that would just rather be in a committed relationship.
I really want to get married so I can get everybody I like in one spot and make them listen to my music for the whole time.
As Kristen said, there are some people that marriage is very important for. And then there are men.
See, I'm selfishly very excited for Mikey moving to the city because we're actually kind of going to be neighbors. Funnily enough, he's moving into a building that I used to live in for 3 years, and I have a lot of fond memories there, so I'm super pumped to have him there. And Mikey and I have gotten to know each other a lot through working on the show, and he's divulged some interesting topics about what it's going to be like to move in with his lady, and one of the big things that is on their radar right now is potentially getting a dog.
Bro.
Okay?
No. You are the subject during the holiday party when you left. People are concerned.
What?
People are concerned. They are concerned. Oh.
The people are chatting.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
And so I wanted to come here. I think Abby has always put this perfectly where it's if you think you want kids, you actually want a dog. And if you think you want a dog, you actually want a cat.
And if you want a cat, you're a good person. You're right.
And I can't think that this is, you know, more true for especially your circumstance. Moving into a new place is already stressful. Then you add on top moving into a place with your girl for the first time. And then you add a pet onto that. That's just too much happening all at once. And I think it's better for you to move in, get your feet wet a little bit, figure out, you know, what it's like living in the big city. And then it would be time for you to actually make the decision to do that, right?
Okay. Well, I have peeled her back a lot from what it originally was, which was that she was going to get a dog before we even moved out. I was able to push that back. I said, no, wait a couple months. Then I was able to get her off the topic of a dog onto a rabbit because Kaylee got one. And then I'm a magic maker. I got her from a rabbit to two guinea pigs, and that's where we are right now.
You think you're a magic maker?
I'm killing it.
You traded a rabbit for two guinea pigs, and you think that's a win?
A dog in 3 days to two hamsters in 4 months. So that's pretty good. I mean, I'm a good negotiator. That's pretty good.
It's a win for somebody.
You know, hamsters and guinea pigs are two different things, right?
I don't care.
Yeah, they're all somewhere on the rodent family. I think what I heard at the holiday party, which was really resonated with me, is that your window of opportunity right now to be totally free with no commitments except to each other is right here, right now. If you want to crash at somebody else's house because you guys get drunk or whatever, you can do that. You're not tied to the apartment in any way, shape, or form. Keep that window open.
I agree. I'm with you.
I have personal experience in this area because I would like to say that with my last relationship that I was in, her getting a dog was the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was an absolute disaster after that. I don't think people understand how much work a dog is until you actually get one. And I remember when she said she wanted one so badly, I was like, I'm making this very clear. This is your dog. This is not my dog. But of course, it ends up being my dog.
That never
right?
worked.
And I was working home from home at the time. And so this puppy was with me all day long. And when you live in a apartment in the middle of the city that you have to take an elevator up and down of, and a dog that has to go to the bathroom every 30 minutes or so, especially when they're a puppy, that trip up and down the elevator becomes very annoying very, very quickly. And I started to kind of resent her over the fact that we had this dog.
Before you were a fish daddy, you were a dog daddy.
I used to be a dog daddy, and I hated every moment of it.
Dog step daddy.
Yeah, you're the responsible one, right? So if you see a need, you're going to go ahead and try to fill the need. And I'm guessing you would do the same
thing.
Yeah,
and of course I was saying the same stuff, like, it's your dog, I'm not taking care of that. Of course I'm going to take care of it.
Right.
At my house right now, we have two dogs, and then we're taking care of two more dogs right now, like people going out of town. I don't even want to go home today. So, like, yeah, it's a nightmare.
That'll be the feel for the apartment also.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You're going to have to deal with this dog making a mess of your entire apartment. On top of that, it's taking them out all the time. You know, just even going out for the entire day, you can't do that when you have a puppy at home. Someone has to be home to take it out.
Oh, Mikey, I so see you with a hairless cat.
You have such hairless cat energy.
Why? Why do I have hairless cat energy?
Dr. Evil.
Did you picture Mikey just stroking a hair?
The Bird Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
To get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
This couple has been the face of black love for years, and now people are saying this might be the messiest breakup, the messiest divorce of 2024. This all has to do with Remy Ma and Papoose. They've been married, and from what I can tell, like, they have just been like a couple that people have idealized for a while, and now there's some drama that has become very public on social media between the two.
I am not familiar with this couple. Is this a movie couple, a reality TV couple?
Hip-hop and reality TV. Okay. They started in rap, and then they became popular as a couple through reality TV as well.
So when I first started looking into what was going on with this breakup, I was ready to go to war for this girl. She was talking about how he was messing around with this girl named Clarissa, who is a competitive boxer. And I was like, damn, he's cheating on her. And they've been the face of just being like what people want out of a relationship. And he's going to step out on her. How dare he? I'm like, you go, girl. You post about him. You expose him. And then I saw what he did. And then he posted about her being a narcissist, saying like, oh, well, she's already cheated on me. Like, I'm just trying to move on. I'm asking her for a divorce. I'm trying to move on. Basically saying like, she cheated first. I wanted out. I wanted to move on. So I'm asking for a divorce. She will not accept the divorce for some reason. So of course I'm going to move on with a new lady. So basically it kind of makes it look like she's in the wrong.
It's layered. This situation is very messy, and there's a lot of layers to it. So Remy and Papoose are both rappers. And at some point they became the face of black love, in part because Remy went to prison for 6 years. And in that time, Papoose held it down, for lack of a better way of putting it, stayed by her side, was there for her. And when she came home, he had a home for her to come home to. And they had been like a family and just the perfect example of how two people can fall in love and get through practically anything. And they were the example, one of the examples of quote unquote black love. So at some point when Remy came home, she started doing hosting battle rap events. At one of the battle rap events, it became rumored that she was cheating on Papoose with another battle rapper named Easy the Block Captain. But she came out and said it wasn't true. But a lot of people were saying it was true. Then at some point, Papoose and Easy the Block Captain met up at an event, and Papoose punched him. And no one really knew why he punched him, but it made people start to believe, okay, maybe she really is cheating on her husband after coming home from prison to the guy who held her down. And so people were furious about this, but no one came out and said it was true. So everybody waited months and months and months to see what the real story was while there was rumor after rumor and battle rap after battle rap about what was going on. And finally, something must have happened last week to where the two of them got into a fight, and then all of it came to a head when Papoose posted a picture of her and the guy that she was cheating on him with in front of a Christmas tree and said that she had been cheating on me all this time. I asked for a divorce. She won't give me one. I've tried to hold it down, but I don't want anything to do with this anymore. And then that's when Remy came out and said, well, you should tell everybody that you are currently cheating on me as well with Clarissa Shields, who is the greatest female fighter of all time. And then Clarissa Shields obviously told Remy, well, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, right.
You can't do nothing with me.
I ain't going to meet you outside.
Exactly. And so it just became this extremely messy situation that has now gone back and forth and has people taking sides of who was right, who was wrong. But in reality, they were both wrong, and it just looks horrible from all angles.
She was in prison for 6 years.
6 years.
What'd and you're telling me he was faithful for all those 6 years?
I don't know that he was faithful, but he didn't leave her, and there were no rumors. And to most people, that's like, well, that's the most you can ask for somebody if you go to prison for 6 years. And she shot someone, Burke, to answer your question.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, she never denied that she should have been in prison, but Papoose didn't leave her for the incident. He held her down, and then she basically came out and cheated on him. And so people are looking at Remy like, how could you do that to a man who held you down in the way we all desire a man to do so?
Yeah, it's the ultimate betrayal. Rude. I could have done better. All right, Google's top trending for 2024. All of the searches have come out. We know the top trending searches for people, the most popular deaths to talk about, and also the most popular actors and movies and songs. And so the top songs that people have been Googling over the last year.
Shaboozy.
No.
He's not in there?
No, he's not on top songs. He might put, yeah, no, no.
You don't need to Google it. All you need to do is listen to the radio. It's going to come on in 3 minutes.
Yeah. In fifth place, there's Fast Car. Fourth place, Euphoria. Third place, Think of It from KSI. Number two was Meet the Grams from Kendrick Lamar. And in the top spot, everyone say it with me. A minor. Nah, not like us.
They not like us.
Sure.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
People are probably Googling it because they're like, what's the lore? What happened here? Yeah. If you're just catching up on the hip hop beefs, I need like a dissertation. I need a 5-part docuseries.
It was 1,000% to read the lyrics. You think that's why people were Googling the song was like not just to listen, but to
see
read
what what he said?
To read the lyrics.
I'm sure. Absolutely.
I do that so I can memorize it and look cool at the clubs. I got to like study
so
up.
You can sing it.
For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Anybody else a little curious about what's going on in Jersey here with these drones?
No.
Not really. No.
It's a little you're not curious about this.
Nope.
Got drones flying all over the place, and they're being reported, and the government's like, yeah, we don't really know what those are, and we don't really know who's controlling them. And that doesn't concern you guys.
No.
Not curious.
I'm glad we're all on the same page.
Yeah. Unless the aliens look like Chris Hemsworth, I don't really care.
They're these huge drones. It's not like these little ones that you buy at Target. They're these huge drones that are flying all over the place, and the government's like, yeah, we don't know where they're coming from. There was some rumors flying around that they were all coming off like some kind of Iranian ship that has nothing but drones on it, and they were slowly attacking America. The government's like, nah, it's not even it. We know where that ship is. So there is one of those out there.
I'm glad you said ship.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something else. I saw a video as I was scrolling through Insta, but the only thing I saw was somebody saying that it was AI. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wrote it off, and I was like, somebody, they said if you look at something there in the corner or whatever, the way it flutters, that it's AI. So I was like, whatever.
No, these have been spotted nightly above different parts of New Jersey, including two military bases, since about November 18th. The government has done press conferences on them, essentially saying what Bert is saying. We don't know what they are, but they are most likely man-made. The biggest indicator is they make noise. So if it's noisy, it's probably man-made. Some of them are reportedly as big as SUVs. So we're not talking about like tiny little drones.
Now we got your attention.
They're like the size of cars. But here's another way you know they're most likely man-made is, oh, how interesting that their lights on the drones adhere to FAA regulations. And so how nice of the aliens to come from wherever they're coming from and make sure that the lights on their wings adhere to FAA regulations.
Okay.
So they're probably, and they do look a lot like a drone that is made by a major aeronautics company in the United States. So people think that it is man-made. They don't know why they're there or what they're looking for, but it really is that it's most likely from a U.S.-based company.
Maybe it's all this UFO talk lately that's got people thinking. Mm-hmm. Amber here, our producer, thinks she just saw a UFO.
No, I saw a UFO, sir.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, so I live in Clayton County on the south side, a place that none of you will ever go, I'm sure. But anyways, I was outside in the backyard with my best buddy, and we were just drinking a few beers, and
that might have explained it.
We had just started.
That's not helping you, Cole.
We just started.
Drinking.
No, he said, were you only drinking?
Oh, that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
We don't need that.
Just need all the facts.
You know what I mean? This is a family show, Bert.
Yeah.
So we were hanging out, and through my peripheral vision on my left side, I see this super bright light. I mean, you know when you were like, when you use your bright light on your phone, your flashlight on your phone is like super bright when it's dark? It was like that, but 10 times as bright, and it shoots straight up. It's not taking off at an angle like you see planes and they take off. It's going straight up. And very quickly. Now, at first, you know, I was like, oh, it's a drone. Maybe it's a drone. But it was flying faster than the planes that were also in the air along with it, because it goes straight up and then it zips across in a straight line until I didn't see it anymore. And I've seen strange phenomena in the sky in that area before. I don't know what that means in the Hampton, Georgia area, but there's something going on.
Well, it kind of makes sense, because I think there's a park in Clayton County that is a designated dark sky area, mm-hmm. which are places that have been designated to preserve nighttime PD.
Really?
So yeah, so like, because of light pollution, you can't see a lot of the stars in the city. So there are places like Jasper, Canada is one of them. And like somewhere in the Okefenokee Swamp in Clayton County is also
maybe
a dark sky. So
you're fascinating.
Yeah, you know a lot.
I just like to learn things.
I love it. I love it.
I find it interesting.
What a nerd.
I am geek chic and proud of it.
Yes, sister.
So you're just sitting there and you catch it out of the corner of your eyes, and when you turn to it, it's still there or it disappears?
No, it's still there, because luckily I have a nice sized yard. So I immediately got up because I was excited. I wasn't afraid. I did the white thing and went toward it. Right, you know, I'll be really fine. Now, Wes, my best friend, for new listeners, he was kind of low key freaking out. Like, he was stuttering and like shaking and stuff. I'm like, dude, aliens, what do you care? You know what I mean? Your exes are a lot more creeper than these aliens. But once it shot up and then it went straight across in a really fast pace, there was another, because we actually have a small airport in the area, like one of those, like, what do you call those puddle jumper airports, you know?
Isn't there a military airfield down there too in Forest Park?
It used to be Fort Gillum, but they're not doing a whole bunch of stuff anymore, because that's actually where my old job was at Kroger.
They're not doing a bunch of stuff anymore.
They still have a gun range. That's all I ever hear over there. Just gunshots. But it's also Forest Park, so I don't know.
It's almost the kind of thing where you don't want to tell anybody what you saw, because you know they're going to look at you kind of crazy.
Yes!
Which is what we're doing.
Yeah, in this moment.
The Bert Show.
All right, we got categories to go over, and I'm talking about you guys, because it is the Bert Show year end best of. Rebecca will explain.
It's time to vote for the best of the Bert Show 2024.
Woo!
Whee! Wasn't the Bert Show so good this year?
Not the best. It was so good.
Well, listeners agree, because I solicited for listeners' favorite segments of the year, and they came in clutch because they had a lot of great feedback.
And let's be honest, it's hilarious at the end of the show. You look back and you're like, I have no idea what we did in the 6 o'clock hour, let alone try to like recall different segments over the years. It's so easy to forget stuff.
I'm kind of an idiot savant when it comes to the schedule and knowing when things were delivered on the air, but ask me about a week ago and forget it. No chance. Like some of the stuff in these categories, I'm like, that was this year?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see if you guys can remember these segments that happened this past year. So I gave listeners five categories. First, there's
best bless your heart moment. We got Abby doesn't know what happens to balloons.
I forgot about that.
What was that one?
I barely remember this segment.
I don't recall that.
You just saw balloons went up in the air because we were like, no, you don't want to litter. You don't want to release balloons because they're going to end up in the ocean. A turtle's going to choke on it, like, or a bird's going to choke on it. And you're like, what do you mean they end up back here on Earth? You just thought they just floated up forever and didn't return. Yeah, I still do think that.
There's Messy Mikey uses a map for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm. Might take him 2.5 hours to get back to the station. That should have taken 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Bert forgot about the gift he bought while on Ambien.
My favorite.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was
the cheese board, right?
That was uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then Bert crashed the boat.
Look at that. Two nominations.
That was wild.
For biggest WTF moments, we have Abby thinks Robin Williams is a secret sad boy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good one. That was good.
He was.
I'll say it again. Not so secret.
A War of the Roses segment. Her stepdad is cheating on her mom with her mom's BFF.
Oof. Scandalous.
Kaylee attended a wedding for Kat.
I love that so much. That was so funny.
And Kristen shared the dark side of dressing rooms. Oof. For funniest segment, we have producer Rebecca and Jackson debate Mudang versus Pesto.
That is my favorite segment. That is so funny.
Same. It was hilarious.
That was a fun one. The Burt Show takes on the Ice Bath Challenge.
Still cold.
Yep.
The Burt Show Youth Group takes over. And Abby got ghosted, and it's all her fault.
TBT. That's just every segment I've ever done. That's just a catch-all.
Most heartwarming segment, close to my heart. We came together to spread Christmas cheer for Cassie.
Love.
Producer Rebecca announces Clear Scans.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, not biased, but I do like that one. Bert found his ex-wife, her soulmate.
That's crazy still to this day.
I've got an update on that. Let me just get an approval from her that I can talk about it. Oh. But we all hung out yesterday at Hollis's soccer game.
Okay.
The Bert Show's Breaking and Entering helps a family in need. So that will come out this Friday at the conclusion. And then finally, biggest plot twist. The full story of Abby's London love saga.
I was so invested. That was such a good story.
All 90 minutes, baby.
That was great.
Producer Jackson goes off script in the corny joke-off.
But was set up.
Wow.
Totally set up.
Mo is considering marriage to appease his family. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And who murdered Abby's Tamagotchi?
Very nice.
Okay, lots to chew on there. So you guys go online at thebertshow.com. You can go ahead and vote on your favorite, and all the nominations are up there, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can re-listen to him. Rebecca did hella work, and she put all the clips up there if you want to relive the moment or you missed it the first time around.
That's what she do. Thank you. All right, Amber, really quickly, you told us on Friday you were nervous because you had a date with a real live woman.
She was real. Promise. I checked her pulse and everything. It's great.
Oh, that wasn't awkward starting the date. Yeah, hey, can I check your pulse?
And you said this was the first time in a decade?
And the first time in a decade where it was a brand new date with someone I don't know. Because I usually end up on a date and I get trapped into relationships. So we ended up going to this dope place called Creekwood Tavern in Smyrna. Mm-hmm. And the plan was to go there and then go to an arcade thing. But I'll tell you this, the date did end up back at her place.
Oh. Hey.
Hey.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, don't get excited. That was a teaser. It's not at all what you think.
Okay.
All right, so anyways, to go to the Creekwood Tavern, we ordered some food. We were both really not super hungry, so we just shared an appetizer and I had a drink. She doesn't drink, so she had water. So I did pay for the thing, but it was like $30 because we didn't really eat a lot. Afterward, the plan was to go to a arcade spot, but it was just too much parking in Cumberland Mall. So she suggested we go back to her place. Mm. She'd turn on the fire pit, roll something. Okay. And then that was about it. I do not think she does want a second date. I do not.
Oh, what? Twist? What?
Yeah. I do not. She's really cool, but I didn't feel anything, and I didn't want to force it. There was no spark. I wasn't, it just wasn't working.
Mm. Didn't the dating coach say that we had on just a couple of days ago? Maybe I saw this on Instagram. She's like, don't set your expectations so much on that very first date that there has to be like a whole bunch of sparks and that kind of chemistry. Wasn't she saying like give it a second try?
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to a second date, but we talked about something last week on the Personality Hires podcast, and I'm wondering if that came up, that thing that I said should probably be a deal breaker for you.
Oh, no, that's not even why. I won't say on air why I don't want the second date, just in case she's listening. I don't want to, you know.
She's just now finding out there's not going to be a second date.
Ooh, yeah. But I hate to say this, but I do think, you know, when you meet someone, you think, oh, we'd be great friends. I think we both had the same idea, although she did want a second date. She did say that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she got a free meal out of it. Who wouldn't be like, yeah, let's do this again, round two. Same time next week.
All right, but
I'm feeling good.
The streak is back out, dude. It's the beginning.
Yeah. Streak is broken. A decade.
Got my toes wet and I'm ready.
Now we just
got
to work on another.
Yeah.
All right, I need to go.
The Burt Show.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.